you've not been around the last couple weeks, we kind of took one word the last during the Christmas series, and that word is the word joy. And we use that word because joyful people are better to be around. Amen. Come on, I need more than Cindy Cooper amen in me. Joyful people are people that are fun to be around. And so we've taken this word joy, and the Bible says specific things about this word joy. It talks about, and we've talked about, and the reason we've done a family Christmas is because we believe during these couple weeks around Christmas that we would come together as family, that we would be in the same room together. And we said up front, you might be squished, you might be sitting by someone that you don't know, or maybe you have to introduce yourself, or maybe they smell. I don't know the scenario, but you have to sit by them. Most likely, if you're married in this room, you are sitting by someone that smells, and that's partly your fault. But we knew as a family we wanted to come together. We wanted to be together, to be on the same page, to be around each other, because, as we've stated, there's no other time throughout the year that you're around family more than you are typically during the Christmas season. And so we wanted to. And I know, being around family sometimes, and I have parents and in-laws in the audience, so no need to be careful at all. But I know that sometimes the one thing that goes away during the Christmas season is joy. Because you're around people that maybe you're not normally around, or because you're around people that drive you crazy, or because bubbly people might drive you crazy, joyful people might drive you crazy, or let's be real, for some people, Christmas isn't the best time of year. It's a hard time. People have lost loved ones. Not everybody can afford to go out and get gifts and spend extra money and had chaos, and we had busyness, and so joy sometimes gets lost in all of it. So we've talked about it because despite what I'm going through, despite my circumstance, I can still be a person that is joy, but that doesn't come from what the season culturally represents, but what Jesus can do. That has to be the foundation of everything that I do. It has to be the foundation of my marriage. It has to be the foundation of my relationships. If it's not the foundation, then we're on a very weak place. And that's the point of Christmas. Is my foundation built on Jesus? Which from there, I can build a life full of joy. Not from there. It's temporary. Present will make me joyful, but the present will go out of style. The S will come in. Come on, some of you didn't get that. The 6S, the 7S, the 150S, all that will come in. It'll change it. So it's a temporary joy, but if it's on Jesus. A couple of scriptures we've read that you kind of heard in the play, Luke 2. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring what? Joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah. The Lord has been born today in the town of Bethlehem, city of David. We also read last week, 1 Peter 1:6 says, so be truly glad, there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. That resonates with people. It resonates with people because you're in the middle of a trial. You're in the middle of chaos. And the bearer of bad news that I can sometimes be is that if you're not in the middle of a trial, you probably will be. You probably will be this week. Or maybe 2016. And so he's asking us to endure. And again, the last words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 13, he says, when he could have said anything and everything, I don't know what your last words would be. I don't know what you'd say, but his last two words started with this, be joyful. When he could have said anything that he could have, when he could have given any advice that he wanted, he started off with those words. Be joyful. Joyful is a sign. See, I don't know what it is that is in your life that you typically lose. Personally, I lose my wallet a lot. Because my phone is magnetic and it goes into my wallet and I don't always carry it because I lose it a lot. I don't know what you lose. Some of you lose keys. Some of you, if you have young kids, it's your mind. I don't know what it is that you lose, but I feel like the things that we lose the fastest that we don't talk about is our joy. I think we lose our joy really easy. I think we lose it really quickly. And so I'm going to spend, as Pastor Sean said, another 10 minutes on Romans 14. Turn with me if you have a Bible, Romans 14. I'm going to read a couple verses. 17 will be on the screen, but I might go 18 and 19 as well. It says this: the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. He says, listen, when it comes down to it, here's the three things that I'm asking you to live, but he adds in the Holy Spirit. So he says, goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He's saying, listen, here's the bottom line. When it comes down to peace, we need to be people that are peaceable with each other. When it comes down to goodness, we need to be people that are good to the people around us. When it comes down to whether I should have an attitude or whether I should have joy, he's saying, time. And he's saying those things so that we might be people moving forward that people will be attracted to. Here's the bottom line. I embarrass the name of Jesus when I choose not to have this attitude. How do I do that? Well, I represent who Christ is. And if I'm not representing him with a smile and with joy on my face and joy in my heart and people seeing that, then I'm misrepresenting who he is. We've made this statement: the people not like Jesus liked Jesus. Why? Because there was something about him. Not that he was beautiful. Isaiah actually calls Jesus ugly. He says he had no form of comeliness that people would come to him because he was attractive. Jesus was an ugly dude. Tweet that out. I found out in church today he was born in a manger and he was ugly. Why? Because he said he had no form of comeliness that people would come to him because he was attractive. People wanted to be around Jesus because he was genuine and he was the life of the party and prostitutes and sinners. That's why all these people came to him. I fear that as the church, we aren't attracting those people. Should I keep going? We're not attracting those people first and foremost because we don't want to. Because there's so much influencing us that we're not influencing them. Jesus, when he walked into a room, wasn't influenced. He was the one doing the influencing. That's the big difference. So if I'm hanging around people for the name of Jesus, then I need to hang around them so that their lives change. Not that I can be like them, but I can be like him. That's the point. If you want to be missional in your life, which I think we all do, it's about conforming and being around like the people around us. It's about walking in a life of grace and a life of mercy and a life of joy with the people around us. They were changed when they walked away from Jesus. Amen. My problem is that they don't, a lot of people aren't seeing Jesus in us. That's the point. This is what Paul's telling the Roman church. So I just have four things. This is amazing. This is a miracle. I think we have reason to be joyful today. And I think a lot of us have forgotten. And we probably have 100 reasons. I just have four. I spared you the 100 today for your sake. The first one is we can be joyful because we're alive. We have one thing in common right now. You and I are alive. We're breathing. We have breath in our lungs. We are alive in this room today. And I think this is the one reason we overlook the most. I think this is the one we take for granted the most. You and I are alive. That means there's opportunity. That means that being alive brings opportunity and optimism and possibilities for what can happen today, all because of this one thing. We are alive. We're breathing. Acts says it this way: and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Here's the best part. We have life. We have breath. We get to fill in what the everything else is. by what I do today. If I sulk, if I complain, if I hold back, if I become disobedient, if I ignore, if I'm lazy, if my heart is hard, then what happens is I'm not really alive. I'm plastic. People aren't seeing the part that God wants people to see, which is life. And not just life, but life abundantly. And so he's saying, listen, I can have joy in this moment, in this opportunity right now, solely based on the fact that I'm alive. And that everything else that happens from here is dependent on how I live and how alive I want to be. If you want to complain about where your life is right now, I can guarantee you, you will not feel alive today in this moment. You will sulk, you'll get people to feel great. And that is not the attitude that Paul was talking about. We can be joyful today because we have plenty. Let's be real. We are some of the most richest people in all of the world. You and I. We have a lot. And I'm saying this before Christmas, where you will get more. We have a lot of things in our lives. And let's be real, these things bring us joy. It's okay for you on Christmas morning to get an Xbox One and to be joyful about it. I'm not telling you to open and go, I guess I should be happy. Be happy because things and the plenty of things that we have, God has blessed us with to enjoy them. Stop not enjoying them because of what people say. God has given you things and he's blessed you and he's done it to all of us differently. And the moment that I take my eyes off and start thinking, I wish I was you or I wish I had what you had, then I'm missing the blessings that God has given me. I'm missing what he has given me. And now I'm focused on what I don't have than what I do have. Let's be real. We can be joyful in this room before Christmas because we have plenty. Here's how James says it, Jesus' brother, which still to this day, I think one of the hardest people to write in the reason James is the favorite book of almost everybody that reads the Bible, because he was Jesus' brother. I don't know how your siblings are, but if your brother is Jesus, you have never measured up. Constantly compared to Jesus. Jesus never did it like that. Jesus never talks back. Jesus is always thankful. Jesus always prays before his food. I mean, it's constantly Jesus. And yet James is still saved. You know what I mean? It's like, you've heard people saying, how are you kids from the same family? How are you even raised the same? You're polar opposites. He's Jesus, and this is James writing. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above. I think the blessings that God has given us, we do one of two things with. We're ashamed because other people don't have, and so we don't give thanks. Or we complain and forget the source of why we have those gifts. God is the source of that. And again, that's the foundation. Paul says it this way. I love this. Philippians 2. He says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. See, we can be joyful because of the relationships that we have in our lives. That's a reason we can be joyful. In a moment that is celebrated because sometimes of disunity in families, because of something that happened in our families, you and I have to celebrate the fact that we can have joy because of the relationships that God has put in our lives. And there's a lot of things that separates and divide and breaks up relationships. In And I think the overwhelming thing that God is asking of us as people that say we follow Jesus, as people that say we want to follow Jesus, as people that say we want goodness and peace and joy in our lives, I think the overwhelming thing that you and I have to be is we have to be peacemakers. We have to be people that love people despite how they've treated us. Hard? Absolutely difficult. Absolutely, especially when you're dealing with family. A stranger does something to me, I forget about it. Family does it to me, I'm ticked for the rest of my life. Right? How are we making peace in the relationships that God has given us? We can have joy here. Paul's talking to the Corinthian church and he's saying, listen, shame on you guys. Shame on you guys that say you love Jesus, that say you're in the church. And here's how he says it, 1 Corinthians 6. He says, shame on you. Surely there's at least one wise person in your fellowship who can settle a dispute between fellow Christians. What's happening in this moment? If you read 1 Corinthians, Christians are suing other Christians because they're getting their feelings hurt. Now, if you know me at all, you know that where I'm not very sensitive is when it comes to your feelings being hurt. I somewhat apologize for that. It's hard for me because I don't care for drama that much. I don't care for drama in relationships. I don't care. When I youth pastored, I feel like teenagers, that's all they bring is drama. And we just stop it from the beginning. Listen, you want to bring your drama here? We're going to just call it out as it is. You're being a baby. You're being a baby. Let's get together. Paul, this is how Paul operates. He says, listen, I don't like drama. Get over yourselves. Is there not anybody in the church who is mature enough to settle this matter? This is a question he's asking. He just blankly said to everybody and anybody, you're all being babies. Is there anybody that can settle this dispute amongst you guys? What's his point? His point is relationships matter. God puts you on this earth to be in relationships. Everything the New Testament is about relationships. This is who Paul's talking to in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all of them. What is he talking about? Relationships. He's talking about how people treat one another. He's talking about how people do marriage. He's talking to people about how they act, not just when people love you, but when they hate you, when they despise you. Constantly, he's talking about relationships. Why? Because this should be a source of joy in our lives. But let's be real, relationships a lot of times are not the source of joy. We should be the examples in this. We should be the leaders in this. When people see the church, they should say, they do relationships well. They do marriage well. They do life well. They should be able to look at the church and not say they do whatever. They should look at us and say, man, those people are joyful. Why? Because they know that they're alive and they know that they've been blessed and they know that they have relationships. They should be joyful. We need to change some things. And you know what the change has to be? Maybe this is the prophetic word for today. Maybe it's not someone else's fault. Maybe the relationship is you. I don't know if we've thought about that, because I think a lot of times we've pointed to other people saying they're the problem if they would just be removed. Maybe we're the problem. Maybe we have to say, you know what? I screwed up. What'd he say? Blessed are the peace lovers. Bless those who love peace. Wouldn't all of us love peace? If I said to you guys, I'm going to bring some peace today, who in this room is going, I'm actually good. Actually like me some chaos. Need more chaos. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. You know what that means? We might have to make peace, and we might have to eat crow in the process. You know what he says in Matthew 5:9 on the New Living? He says, blessed are those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. He says, blessed are those who work for peace. You know the word? Do we need the definition of work? That means it's going to cost you. Peace might cost you in the relationships that you have. You might have to work for the joy that you're going to get out of the relationship that you have. You might have to work for it. God is not a genie to dump joy on you in your relationships. You might actually have to work for it. This is crazy talk. And you know when it starts? Christmas time. Because you are around family. And this is when we need to work for peace. I don't much have this anymore, but I feel like, Mom, Dad, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to be vulnerable for a moment. This might be crazy, but I'm going to be vulnerable. And you say yes or no, I'm okay with it. But I kind of feel like with my sisters and being in the middle, I was the peacemaker. Would you agree with that? Okay, hold on. Dad said no and Mom said yes. And Dad, you wanted to know why I asked Mom for things. You don't need to know anymore. Mom said yes. Dad instantly said no. Dad, I'm going to ask you again because Jesus might come down and strike you if you lie. I'm not asking you again. All right, no more vulnerability. No more vulnerability. You two, shush. What's that? No, you cannot. Ushers, if you'd come. All right, that backfired. Moving on. Reason number four. Last one. Isaiah, you guys can come up. We can be joyful because we have a relationship with Jesus. See, this is the reason he came. The reason he came, above blessing us, above giving you the desires of your heart, is he came that we might have relationship with him. Here's how Romans says it. So now we can rejoice, Romans 5, in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends. He says, listen, I want you to think about this. If there's two chairs on this stage, how God and man operated was more in this setting where the chairs were sitting out. When Jesus came, Romans 5, as Jesus pointed the chairs in, and said, let's have relationship. And so now it's no longer about just looking out together. It's about looking at each other in the face. It's about looking at each other in the eyes. It's about how can I walk with God in a relationship that I can pray, that I don't have to have go to somebody else and have them pray for me, that I can have relationship, that I can pray, that I can sing songs, that I can talk to God. See, I have joy, and the joy of who I am in Romans 5 is that my joy comes out because of my new relationship with Christ. That no matter how my life is, at any point because I'm breathing and because I'm alive, I at any point, no matter if my kids are crazy, which they usually are, no matter if my life and my job situation or my marriage is crazy, at any point, I can stop, I can step back, and I can begin a relationship. And now my joy is being built out of that relationship with Christ. See, everything that I do in my life has to be the foundation of my relationship with Christ. And that changes everything. How I treat people is because of my relationship with Christ. How I love people or don't love people, I would come back to, how's my relationship with Christ? See, when I'm reading the Bible, that's a relationship. When I'm praying, that's a relationship. So I don't know how you do relationships, but if you pray and you're only asking, I don't know what type of relationship you're in, but you don't like that friend. You don't like that friend that calls you, and when they call you, you know, oh my gosh, what do they want? Come on, that's a nervous laugh because you have that friend. It's the friend going, you know, if you're picking up, thank you, Lord, for caller ID. You know if you're picking up that they're asking something, they're not calling because they just want to see how you're doing. They're going to ask you for something. Why do we view that any different in our relationship with Christ? Maybe he has something to say to us. That's relationship. Relationship is that I can talk with him, I can commune with him, I can give him my thoughts, but he also gives me his thoughts, and he corrects me, and he rebukes me. You know why people don't like rebuke? Because they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. People who are in a relationship don't mind rebuke because they want what God wants. Come, who? I don't mind rebuke because I want to be like Jesus. Doesn't mean it feels good. I don't like when my wife tells me I'm doing something wrong. I don't like when my wife corrects me and she's right. Sometimes. I heard the always. You, same category as mom, dad. You're sitting at the kid table on Friday. We can be joyful because of that relationship, because we have a relationship with Christ. This is what God wants us to know, that this Christmas, no matter what you're dealing with, you have a reason to be joyful. Amen. And you might even say, you don't realize how busy I am. Here's me. This is my personal opinion. I don't believe in busyness. I believe in perspective. You're going to do what you want to do. You are. You're going to do it. If you're busy, it's first, you don't know how to say no, which that's a lot of us. That's my biggest problem. We want it. We were people pleasers. But let's not call ourselves busy. Let's call ourselves people with a lack of perspective. Because when I have the right perspective, I'm not busy. I'm doing what God asked me to do. And I find joy from that place. I find chaos, craziness from the other place. So if you're stressed out this Christmas, if you're stressed out today, which a lot of us can be, because you've heard about every fourth word today, because you're so busy, my prayer for us is that we would have a new perspective this Christmas, and that we would find that he is the reason. It's not knocking what you do on Friday morning, but we cannot forget and have the perspective of why we do what we do. And it's because of Jesus. Amen. Amen? Let's pray. God, I'm thankful that despite how we came in today, we can leave differently. God, we could be transformed. Paul's talking about a new relationship is because the old had passed away, and behold, all things have become new. God, if we're hurting today, God, I pray for those that are carrying a weight, a weariness. God, you say, cast your burdens on me, I'll carry it. God, I pray that you would lighten the load. That doesn't mean our situation changes. It just means God interjects, and now his peace is transforming the way we think. God, I pray that you renew minds today. Renew our minds today, God. God, I pray that we would be the most joyful people in the world, not in a fake sense, but in the sense that we know who we are and we know what you've called us to do, that we are alive. We are alive and breathing. And God, we have so much stuff. You have blessed us, and we have plenty. We have incredible people around us. But ultimately, all of those things are second, third, and fourth to the fact that I can have communion and I can have relationship with you, Son of the Most High God. The reason you came, that we might have life, relationship, transformation. Guys, during these two simple songs that we're singing today, here's my encouragement, here's my prayer, that you're a person in this room that is struggling. Maybe your mindset is off. First and foremost, you can always come forward and someone will pray with you. That's first and foremost. I recognize because of our relationships that there might be someone in this room that you could just go to. I love that. You don't need a card in your wallet to pray for someone. You don't need pastor in front of your name or doctor or teacher or whatever. That anybody that's you're in relationship with, that you can look at them and you say, hey, man, I'm just struggling. And can we stop with the mindset that someone is better off than you or don't struggle or they have the perfect world? They don't. They do not. That is a facade. So if you're a person in this room and maybe you have a relationship with someone, you need someone to pray for you, I encourage you. I invite you. Disrupt this time. Get away from your seat and find someone. And ask them the most powerful thing that you could ever ask them. Would you pray with me? Do that today. I invite you to do that. Would you stand with me?